Do you want to know what I'm good at?
Yeah, I've been waiting 7.5 years to hear the answer to this.
I am good at quitting drinking beer.
Oh, I'm good at starting to drink beer.
Should we try that again so you don't step on the punchline?
No, it's better this way.
Okay. I'm good at quitting drinking beer.
Because?
I do it every day.
Oh.
It's
better without the punchline.
All right, you want to hear a joke?
Sure.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
I quit drinking beer. I don't know. I had nothing. I don't know. I was jazzed up for that first one.
Cut.
Is it a cutting?
Oh, sorry.
All right. Well, that was just awkward. Hello and welcome to episode 441 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam, Vancouver, British Columbia.
I am currently going to our website to find out if this is indeed episode 441.
Okay, what happens if it isn't?
It is. It totally is. Don't worry about it.
Okay. All right.
Last week's confused because it says episode 440 and then $500 camera episodes. 440, 500. There's a lot of numbers going on there.
It's very confusing. How about those Toronto Raptors?
That's what I hear.
But what I want to talk about most is the physiotherapy component of this series was the worst medical decision-making in the history of any championship was made in that series. Okay. We saw two of the most tragic injuries to players that shouldn't have been playing, and they are both top 10 players in the entire NBA. They will both be out for the majority of next season because of playing when they shouldn't have played. One ruptured his Achilles tendon. That was Kevin Durant, mm-hmm. who played in game 5. First time he played in like 2 weeks, and he'd only just started practicing, and they put him in for a game. He lasted 11 minutes and ruptured his Achilles when he already had an injury in that area that he shouldn't have been playing with. So right away when I heard he was playing, I said, that's stupid, and he's not going to make it through the game. I didn't suspect that he would completely cost himself his entire next season, but mm-hmm. he is also an unrestricted free agent. And he will not be going back to Golden State as far as I'm concerned, but he just cost himself probably in the realm of $50 million by playing that time.
How old is he?
I think he's 31. This will be a max contract that he was going to get, and now he will be sitting for most of next year, and I don't know what money he's going to lose, but he's going to lose a lot of it. So that was the first horribly managed.
Okay, hold on. Let's not gloss over that then.
No, there's another one that's just as bad from yesterday.
I understand. But in my prognosticating, I can't finish the rest of that sentence. But I'm going to say there's going to be a massive lawsuit coming out of this.
It has to be. It's his agent for sure was saying, mm-hmm. don't play.
Is it Scott Boras?
I don't know, but any agent worth their weight would have said, mm-hmm. don't play, because if Golden State loses, he's already won 2 championships. He's already been the finals MVP. He has nothing left to prove. And mm-hmm. if he sits out the rest of the series and Golden State wins or loses, then he just gets more money because they can't win without him. Now, if he comes back and they win, well, that's kind of what they were supposed to do from the beginning. So it doesn't really change anything for him. He's still an unrestricted free agent. But this was the worst possible scenario because he plays because everyone was questioning his toughness, where now he's going to sit on the shelf for a year and he's probably never going to be quite the same. That injury is so bad for a basketball player. Okay, so that's one. Golden State medical staff, horrible decision making. There should be lawsuits left, right, and center. To go with it, last night, Klay Thompson, so there's Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant, all would be top 10 players in the NBA. So Klay Thompson had a hamstring injury, sat out game 4, played game 5, played very well, was probably the best player for Golden State in game 5, and he has his hamstring, you know, taped up. There's no hamstring injury that would recover in the time frame that he was playing. It's not a thing. It's not possible. The most minor hamstring strain is going to take 2 weeks at least before you're playing at that level. So his hamstring is all K-taped up, and he's playing in the game yesterday, and he's playing really well. He's the best player again for Golden State. And in the third quarter, he comes down awkwardly after a play at the rim. He kind of catches the rim, a player fouls him, and he comes down, hyperextends his knee, and his ACL's torn. So he's also an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. So you have two top 10 players, and guess what's susceptible to tearing when your hamstrings hurt? What do you think? Have a guess at what the number one injury would be for a basketball player with a hamstring injury.
The Kreutzband.
No, it's the ACL. So
the Kreutzband is German for ACL.
So I was watching.
I fooled you there.
Oh, okay, that's good. I was watching with another physio and our families. As soon as he landed, we both said ACL's gone. And here's the stupidity of the NBA. He's on the floor. He's in obvious pain, right? Like he can't move. We know right away. They show the replay 6 times in slow-mo. His ACL's gone. Like there's no way his ACL isn't gone. And all of a sudden, like, you know, they go to commercial and then they come back from commercial and he had been helped into the tunnel when it went to commercial. And now when they come back, he's standing on the free throw line and he's going to shoot the free throws. And I said to the other physio, that's not possible. There's no way that he should be out there. We're like, what is going on? And we both said, it's got to be fully torn. There's no way. And anyway, so he's walking down the tunnel being helped by the trainers and someone yells to him. He hasn't been examined by any medical people. Someone yells, you have to shoot the free throws or you can't go back into the game. Even if you want to go back in the game, you can't. You got to go back out there and shoot the free throws. So he was back out on the floor shooting the free throws. As soon as he shoots the free throws, they cause an intentional foul and they get him out of the game. And he goes back to the locker room and he's kind of jogging in the hallway. He's jumping up and down and both me and the other physio are going, this is insane. Like, what is going on? This guy has no ACL. His whole leg's going to collapse. Anyways, they keep talking about it, like what's going on, and hopefully he's okay. He was seen running and they showed video of him in the hallways and stuff. And cut to it like 10 minutes later with a few minutes left in the fourth quarter and he's on crutches being helped out of the building. And then MRI confirms full torn ACL, like the worst scenario. But for two kind of just people watching on television, and they had to have their whole medical staff seeing the same videos. The fact that they let him go out there, run around, all of those things is insane. These are the best, apparently the best medical people in the world. And the level of incompetence was off the chart. So,
but what is one of the top 10 greatest moments in baseball history?
Kirk Gibson
with the knee.
Yeah, this
everybody wants their Kirk Gibson moment, man.
This is crazy. And the medical staff, like, just in terms of putting a guy out there in those situations, both star players, when they shouldn't be there, it's mind-blowing. And the worst case scenarios for both of them. So yeah, you're gonna hear more about this because
so he's gonna need a knee brace. And where should he get that knee brace, Adam?
Not Amazon, because he should
don't get on Amazon.
Don't get your surgery on Amazon. He's
don't get the surgery on Amazon, but you get your G2 orthotics. You don't need it to custom fit. I don't think you just get it on Amazon.
I don't know. I don't know who gets to decide that those guys go out on the floor. And there are always going to be the argument that hindsight's 20/20. But
sure.
Yeah, that was not good.
All right. So Amazon, by the way, click through our site, help us out. Also, if you are on Amazon, go check out, there's a new documentary that's on there. I'm not sure if it's all around the world. I got a message from my friend Nate Adams. His latest documentary is called Mind Over Matter. He was on the show a couple months ago talking about it. And he said, hey man, can you do me a favor and check out on Amazon, the German Amazon, to make sure it's on Prime? And I couldn't find it, so it might not be on yet, but have a look. It's called Mind Over Matter. In German, it's called Reine Willenssachen, which means the same thing, basically pure will, pure willpower, if you're translating. And it's about a guy with cerebral palsy who wants to become a rock guitarist and is inspired by the rock band Korn.
I heard about this.
Yeah, he was on the show. He talked about it. You probably didn't listen to the show, did you?
No, probably not.
Maybe you heard him on Corolla, but
maybe I heard. Yeah, that's where I heard about it.
Yeah, so Nate's one who works over at Chassis Media with Corolla, and so his latest one is called Mind Over Matter, and it's on Amazon. So check it out.
Okay, all right, that's where I heard about it.
All right, what's going on, man? Besides Raptor stuff. Not that I'm not interested. Was there riots last night in Vancouver? Because every time some Canadian team gets close, Vancouver gets lit on fire.
No, but it was, I mean, you're in Germany, so you don't feel it. Everybody in the last week, like it's all Raptors all the time, even out here. So it's pretty awesome. Like the Raptors definitely captured the imaginations of Canadians. They show the viewing parties all over Canada. It's pretty awesome. So it wasn't a Toronto thing. It was definitely a Canadian thing. And people who had never watched basketball, admittedly, were all talking about basketball and the game and where they're going to watch it. And yeah, it was cool for sure.
I do like that. I do like when there's a whole collective thing that goes on like that. It's like a current of a river. It just kind of sweeps everybody up. And even if it is admittedly a fair weather fan kind of thing, I do see the positive in it. I appreciate the bandwagon and the good times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Maybe the Canucks will do that eventually.
Yeah, maybe they're gonna maybe they'll win something sometime.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, St. Louis won their first one.
Yeah, yeah, good for them. Yay.
So, well, did you watch it? Did you watch the finals?
I didn't watch it.
You didn't even watch the Stanley Cup finals. That's, yeah.
Yeah, I hate Boston, and I was just, I was so much more interested in the NBA. Mm. And so all the teams that were left in Stanley Cup for the last few weeks, like, just didn't interest me at all.
So it's a holiday over here, shifting gears.
Yeah.
Pfingstferien, whatever it's called. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I've been here long enough. I should know, but I don't care. It's some time off. And so a couple weeks off and for school holidays. So we went down, we just got back today. We went down for a couple days down to a place called the Bodensee. Have you heard of it?
Only when you just said it.
Lake Constance. Have you heard of it?
Yes.
Okay. Same thing. The German word is Bodensee, but it's called Lake Constance. It's right on the border. It's this big lake right on the border of Switzerland, Austria, and Germany. All three countries share the banks. We call it the banks.
Okay.
The shoreline. So anyway, so we were not too far from Switzerland, but I didn't go to Switzerland because really, why is it so expensive? Legitimately, it's like Switzerland's. It's the same as Germany, except it's three times the price.
And why? What?
Don't know. Do not know. Don't like it.
Does everyone have way more money over there?
Oh yeah. Yeah. They're rich.
Okay. Swiss banks. There's Swiss banks. They just give you money at the Swiss banks, right?
That would be nice. That would be nice. No, their move is, so in Switzerland, first of all, they have speed limits on the highways, and also the highways aren't free. You have to buy a pass to drive on the highways for the year.
Okay.
Even if you're from out of country, and then in Germany, the Autobahn's free. Go figure. I think it's the only country that the Autobahn is free. Everything else you got to pay for. France, Italy, I think Spain. Anyways, so the Swiss like to come over and drive the Autobahn as fast as they can because they're not allowed at home, because a speeding ticket in Switzerland is wicked expensive.
Okay.
It's like, it's based on how much money you make, first of all, and then also it's way expensive. So so rich people pay more money, obviously. Like, some guy got like $1 million speeding ticket a couple years ago. Anyway, so there's that, and then this is boring stuff. All I'm just saying is Switzerland, come on, do we need you still?
Okay, well, we need their banks, and all the people that have their Swiss bank accounts are rich. I feel like if you say he's got a Swiss bank account, instantly that means he's rich.
Yeah, I saw Bourne Identity, but anyways, so it was nice. We went down. We stayed on the German side though, and my wife's uncle owns a holiday apartment down there, and so we've gone down a couple times. We've stayed there. And it's just kind of nice to kind of walk around the lake, but I do miss, it makes me miss Canada a lot. Because Canada, wow, do we have a lot of provincial and national parks where there's just access to, hey, you want to go swimming? Go ahead. There it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not the same here. Like, you don't just go down to the lake and go swimming. A lot of it, it's like a few of the spots, most of the spots you go to, you have to pay to get in, and like it's fenced off, and then it's like it's a pay thing, or there's a one little area, but it's not great, or there's no swimming allowed. So, yeah, I miss Canada a lot.
You should. Plus, you could have been part of the Raptor celebration.
Just to bring it around. So, anyway, we did have fun down there, but I'll talk a little bit about that in the shoot anything interesting, which maybe I didn't shoot anything interesting. Reminder, monthly challenge is Black and White Summer. I've not shot mine yet. It's we're halfway through the month. I've not done mine. You?
No, I have not.
All right, let's do this. Let's try to do it this week.
I plan on getting something amazing this weekend.
Yeah, same here. I have mine in mind. I just haven't had the right conditions yet to do it. Not enough black, not enough white. That's been the situation. Anyways, hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge or hashtag Hey Hosers on Instagram, and we will check that out. Did you shoot anything interesting?
No.
No baseball, nothing?
No. Just photo challenge. That's it. Haven't had the, I've been videoing that. Is that interesting?
It is. Well, you did talk about your new camera and yeah. So far you've enjoyed it. You sent me a clip that your daughter shot.
No, right? It was one of the other siblings. It was another sibling on our team. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So either way, it was like a 12-year-old kid. You said.
Yeah.
Shot,
yeah. So I've been
pretty cool.
Yeah. And I've been using it for the baseball only really. So I've just been setting it up, at the field, usually not even having anyone man it, just finding a vantage point and just leaving it to record. And I just usually in between innings, when I come back, cause I'm often a base coach, but when I come back to the dugout or wherever I have it situated in between innings, I just stop it so that I can easily find first inning at bats, first inning field. And then I kind of just go through it and look for clips. If someone does something really cool, or has a really big hit or a nice catch or whatever, then I'll just cut that 10-second clip and send it off to the parent. People seem to really like it. And I find that it's good as a coaching tool. I send little clips to the coaches of this or that, you know, when someone did something really well, or maybe they didn't do something at all, so that they can, you know, basically use it as instructional for the kids. So there's lots of value in it.
Nice.
Plus the video just looks good. I'm happy with how cheap and how good that it works and all the auto everything and focus tracking and blah, blah, blah. But for $225, wow, does your dollar go a long way these days?
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to check that out. Check out some more of that. Maybe I'll get one myself. I don't know. Don't know if I need one yet.
I don't think anyone needs it because your phones are so good, but it does give you, you know, the ability to throw in a 64 gig or 128 gig, whatever card, right, and then just not worry about filling up your phone storage. But I'm going to guess that most phone video would be a very similar quality.
Without the zoom. We talked about it last
week. Yeah.
All right. So I took, when we went down for the weekend, I took the X100. I have not shot with that hardly at all. I guess, you know, as I said, we've had bad weather here for a long, long time and just didn't shoot a lot, but really specifically, I haven't been shooting with my X100. And so that's all I took. I took no flash, no extra camera, no nothing, no extra battery, didn't take a charger. I just said, you know what? We're going to go for 3 days and I'm going to shoot until the battery's dead. And that'll be that. I'll make it last.
Okay.
And I did. I got down like the last day, the last night, the battery was down to flashing red. I thought, oh wow, I thought I'd get a little bit more to that. But I remembered the X100, you can plug it into the USB and charge the battery there. So I kind of left it on overnight, even though I didn't need it the next day. The next day we were just getting up, cleaning up, and going home. I just wanted to see how long it would take, and sure enough, it charged no problem in a couple of hours, and boom, off and running. So it's wildly handy, but I fell in love with that camera all over again. And so I think I took a lot of pictures. I haven't gone through them all yet, but I just quickly grabbed a couple, not counting the challenge photo. So there's one of my son on the ferry. We drove down to one spot. We had to go, my wife had a meeting, and then rather than drive all the way around the lake, we caught a little, that's like a 10-minute car ferry across the lake. And so my kids were thrilled because you got to go on the ferry, right? And so there's my son in the evening, sort of just at twilight, fascinated by what's behind the ferry. Do you see it?
Yes.
Are you still on the line?
Yes.
Okay. So I nothing particularly about this photo. I happen to love this camera. So
I like the dog.
That's the challenge photo. So let's not skip ahead. Okay. So here's the ferry. I love the colors. I love the texture of the image. All right. Hand it.
No, that's funny. I just like your reaction to that as I'm looking at completely the wrong photo.
Yeah.
I see both of them, but I got distracted by the dog because I have them in thumbnail form.
Okay. Well, good for you.
Yeah. Sorry.
So I like the colors and the texture and the what have you with the in the fairy picture. Just like this looks just a huge fan. And then I had my daughter snap a photo of my wife and I. Although Arlie Ermey called, he wants his haircut back, apparently. FYI, I keep my hair pretty short in the summer because of swimming every day. It turns into a mess, but...
Sure do.
Yeah, so there's that.
Captain America?
Yeah, I just happen to love that shirt.
Okay.
Yeah, not a huge Captain America fan. I just happen to... I love the graphics on that one. So that's kind of my go-to shirt. I do get asked about that a lot here, though.
Okay.
Captain America.
Right.
The America part, not the captain. Anyway, I love the fact that I can put it in, you know, face detection mode and hand it off to my daughter and, gets a decent snapshot. And she's only 7, so, or turns 8 soon. So, and then there's a shot that is the runner up for this week's top for this week's theme,
okay.
Challenge is sunshine. And there's a shot of my daughter with my wife's hat on. I just saw some cool light against a wall and said, hey, I'm getting a shot here.
It's nice. And, I like it. Simple. I like the texture that the light brings out the texture in the wall and where the light falls and the hat and all of it. It's all good things here. I like this.
Yeah, it's nice and very simple. But that camera just honestly makes it so simple. Just gets out of your way so quickly. So again, if you're thinking about buying one, we talked last week about should you buy a $500 camera? And the answer was no. Mm-hmm. Should you buy a $1,300 camera? And the answer is yeah. I really like this camera.
Okay.
If you can find it for $500, then yes, buy it for $500. That's my suggestion to you. Okay. So, also, and the last thing I shot was this week's game day cover. So mm-hmm. I think I sent you a bunch of different versions. You didn't seem to care, but each of them.
You know what? It's funny because I don't know. Like I somehow the images didn't come through at first. I didn't know what you were talking about, but then I didn't bother to question it. And then I think it was just the internet connection I was on and they didn't upload those photos. And then later when I got home, I sort of saw, but it had been hours. And then at that point, mm-hmm. I was like, because you wanted a feedback quickly and I was at work, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, I don't think when I looked back at the photos after the things that you were kind of judging and the color tones in the background and whatnot, my feedback would have been, I like them all. Like those subtle differences to me didn't seem to, like, it wasn't details that I would have been focusing on. And so right. I liked it regardless. I know sometimes I do the same thing where I'm hung up on a very, very small little thing that I show, you know, someone else or my wife and she's just like, doesn't matter. And in this case, if I had seen it originally, the only thing that I would have said to just try, and maybe you did this as well, would have been just going completely like old West, like sepia tones and see what that looks like. That would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't look good.
Okay. So you did that as well.
Yeah. I tried a bunch of different things but this is a very specific thing. Like this isn't just an old West. There's a very, very famous comic in Europe. I'd never heard of it, called Lucky Luke.
Okay.
And it's set in America, so it's a cowboy, and that's the font. I use the exact same font, Lucky Luca. His name's Luca. And I was trying to work on a theme, and generally when I work out these themes, it's something I have, you know, deep knowledge of, like the Blues Brothers or Bull Durham or something steep, you know, a culture I'm steeped in. But this one I was flying blind, and so a little Googling told me that that his motto, Lucky Luke's motto, is that he is faster than his own shadow.
Okay.
And so there's a bunch of imagery of the comic character drawing his gun and shooting his shadow before his shadow can get his gun out of his holster.
Right.
And so it's a very common thing throughout the whole thing. And so that's what I wanted to work with. So Lucky Luke or Shadow aus sein Schatten, that's what that means, faster than his own shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I went with this. I said, okay, I'm going to shoot him in the cowboy outfit and then have his shadow be baseball, right?
Gotcha.
That was the connection. And wow, was that a lot harder?
Well, you know what? I think the problem is with something like this is that how many people are going to even notice that?
In Germany, the shadow, they will notice.
Okay. All right.
Because of the character.
It blends a lot though. Like I, and because it's so vibrant in the color scheme in the foreground, like I feel like a lot of people are going to miss it.
Yeah. I hear, yes. North America, here they won't miss it. North America, I think they will. I didn't want to hit anybody over the head with it. I wanted them to discover it. And one of the other challenges, this is the challenge I really faced, was connecting these two together. And so in the actual cartoon, whenever they show him and his shadow, it's a much wider shot. And so you see his feet and you see the shadow going across the ground and there is that connection. There's no confusion that is in fact his shadow.
Right.
But all of those images are basically panorama type shots and not the horizontal, like the portrait mode, right? Which we have to do for the magazine cover. It has to be in portrait mode. And so I don't have that luxury of connecting those feet. Plus, I do want to stay in kind of close as I can on his face and still see the holster. So that was a bit of a challenge, getting that the right way. Obviously, this is a composite. I didn't, you know, this would be a pretty good trick otherwise.
Right.
But I shot him and then went and shot his shadow. I said, here, hold the bat. I just shot a picture of him. I didn't shoot a picture of his shadow, which I was going to do. I was originally going to put this on a white background, which is how I shot it. And then ultimately we needed something kind of more old westy than a white, just a seamless white. And so I composited the wood frame stuff in there. So ultimately I had to shoot him, just a photo of him against a white background, cut him out, make it completely black, and then turn that into a shadow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it all fits together. My only concern was whether or not people would even notice the shadow. And of course, once you notice it, you can't not notice it. But
right.
especially the first time, I think people look at it and they're like, oh, cool, Old West. Look at the bright yellow. Look at that. And just totally miss the fact that it's baseball, a baseball-shaped shadow.
Could be. I mean, my other buddies, their initial reaction was, oh, are you shooting photos for Magic Mike 3? they're like, wow, is this like an all male review? Or is he doing male stripping? What's going on here?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of the holster, I think, because the holster looks like it's from the dollar store.
Which it is. This is his fashion outfit from when he was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we had it. But ultimately,
the costume budget fell short here.
What was a last minute thing too, for a reason I won't even bother you with. But this is the very first time they have actually quite a large newspaper has published this photo ahead of the game. Like, they don't normally publish they don't ever publish my covers. But they publish it in the paper. And of course, did not give me credit, because why would they?
Right.
So zero. It just said Vereinsbild, mean club photo, not hey, thanks, Alan. So good job, guys. Good job. All right. So that's what I did. Interesting. Photo challenge this week is sunshine. So let's start with yours first, since we've talked all about mine for a while. Okay.
All right. Mine is. At the ball field after the game, I said, it was a beautiful night. This was just taken the other night. We had a beautiful evening, and it's probably 8-ish o'clock, maybe just before. And I just had this cute little girl that was a sibling from one of the kids on my son's baseball team. And she is just not only cute, but has a voice. If you could explain it any other way, it would be a voice like sunshine. And so, I thought, oh my goodness, I've taken photos of her. I don't know if I've used her for a photo challenge before, but
I think you have, because I have seen her.
Such a cute kid. And I said, I asked her mom, is it okay if we do a photo challenge picture? And she said, yes. And the kid was up for it. So I just kind of positioned her, obviously sun is coming right behind her. I took a few different angles and get different lens flare. And then I basically said, all right, we're done. And then I just looked at the various photos, and just chose the one that I kind of liked what the lens flare did with this, just where the sun's coming through her hair, obviously get the lens flare in different spots here, but sometimes it looked too distracting, the lens flare. And this one was just kind of a nice happy medium. If I get it positioned, the sun, right behind her, and you don't get any flare, then it's just all backlit. And some, because it was windy, some her hair is a lot more blown, and I like this was just right for me. So really straightforward, simple photo that took all of 30 seconds.
Lens flare is good. I think I would have gone with like more of a square crop, or just lose some of the sides. You could play in tight and still keep the good stuff.
I did this 30 seconds before we aired. So,
right.
I didn't really think about crop at all, but I wanted to give, I sent this photo to, her parents, and that was sort of a thank you for, and I just used the same version, which was they can crop it however they like. Cause I thought they might crop it, as an 8x10, they might print it as a 4x6. So that's part of my thinking. I agree. I would probably crop this in tighter, cause it doesn't need to be this way, but, just like the light, and her blonde hair really kind of helps, as far as doing this kind of shot. You just see so much of the nice light sort of translucency of that hair, really kind of makes it look cool. So, it helps have a cute kid. So
it's never never hampers you.
But what do you think critically, other than the crop, anything else?
I would start with the crop. I mean, I don't love the sky, but there's nothing you can do here. I mean, that the sky is what it is, because that's the time of day. I mean, that's that.
Or you got to use flash, which I don't want to use.
No. You wouldn't use flash here. You're right. You're right to do that. I think I would have, and this could be my monitor, it could be me being a colorblind. I would have warmed it up a little bit more. I would have gone and made it even a little like over golden.
Yeah, I already warmed it up. And I guess just the season to taste. So I warmed it up.
Yeah, you shot this at about 5,000, warmed it to like 6,000 is my guess.
A little less than that. I think I shot it at 5,000 and went to about 5,400, I think is where
okay, so if you'd gone to 6,000, 6,500, it would have been overdone. It would have been like a Joni Mitchell cover, but it would look really cool in this situation. Now, other than that, I mean, it looks like it might be a little bit soft, but that's also a factor of lens flare. Lens flare tends to do that to images.
Well,
a bad thing.
Yeah, I played with those sliders as well in terms of how much to bring back, and then I just thought it didn't look, it should be soft. Like that was where I kind of wound up, is that when I brought up the clarity slider and mixed in more contrast is that it just doesn't look right. And this kind of lens flare to me, it looked right as soft. So, again, it's just kind of a one that it's a season to taste. This is where, you kind of mixing artistic tastes with photography, because there's a lot of range here to do something with this photo, and you can kind of make it look however you like. It's just kind of, this is where I kind of liked it. And so, that's where I landed. Yeah.
Well, I can't argue with what you like, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's have a look at mine. Mine is the aforementioned dog photo.
Right. Sorry. I spoiled it. I spoiled it, but that dog was staring at me even as a thumbnail.
Yeah. And so, that
even
dog
though you're
was
talking
your
about
soul.
The fairy, I was like, I see a dog. I don't know what you're talking about. Fairy.
Yeah. There's a Labrador there. So this is down at the lake. We're down there, on like one of the second day or something like that. And the kids want to go kind of play on the water's edge. And, this is a very small spot where you can see in behind, actually, you see the fence in the water. That is the marking for in behind there is that wharf. That's the pay area to go and swim.
Okay.
So they don't want you swimming in. They pay attention to people swimming into the pay area.
Okay.
There you go. So anyways, we're down there and my son loves to throw rocks off the bridge. Like that is his favorite thing.
Okay.
To quote Tommy Boy, he just loves throwing rocks in the water. So we went down there. When we left, none of those rocks were still there. He threw all those rocks you see in the water. It's his favorite thing. And so while he was there,
big.
Yeah, he's a big kid. And so there's an older guy with his older dog. This dog turned out to be 13 years old, who was down there with the tennis ball and then the dog and throwing it in the water. And he asked my son if he wanted to try it. And sure enough, at first he didn't. And then, of course, he did. And that was it. Like, man's best, boy's best friend here. They just loved it. They went on and on and on for quite some time. Quite a number of throws out into the lake.
Nice.
And so I kept trying to get a good angle, get the right angle so I can get my son and the dog and shooting on rapid fire, like 8 frames a second with the X100. And out of the bunch of photos I took, this is the one I like the most, because you can tell he's got the arm cocked, ready to throw. And I just love the look on the dog's face, just staring him down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I should point out, not our dog, not getting a dog, not about to get a dog.
Okay.
Kids have not shut up about the dog. Hey, when are we getting our dog? Well, you don't look after your turtles, so never.
Right.
Yeah, just grouchy dad. I turned into grouchy dad after this, but.
Okay.
Anyways, that's the photo.
It's a good photo. I like it.
What do you like about it?
It's a good moment. Like I say, I like the colors. The red pops from the blue, and mm-hmm. I agree. I love the frozen in time sort of moment here with the dog looking at him, and he's got kind of a nice little sly grin, and he's about to throw the ball, and good angle. This is one where, again, the crop is sort of a season to taste. I don't love the crop, but I don't know what else is in the frame that you got rid of. I feel like it'd be fine to have a little bit more room on the right side of the frame. And then on the left side of the frame, it's a weird spot. You cropped it where there's a person right on the edge of the frame in the background.
Yeah. I was going to Photoshop my wife's foot out. But ultimately what I ended up having to do is, just because it was a rocky footing and it was a weird situation, the camera wasn't perfectly level when I shot it.
Oh, okay.
And so first move I had to do was straighten it in Lightroom, which ends up kind of
changing everything. Yeah.
Yeah. It dictates your crop. And then I admit, so there's nothing on the left side. There's nothing. I would have liked to go on a little bit more, but I couldn't. And then, would he get too close to his arm? And I kind of wanted to keep him in.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I figured. Because you didn't want to crop that person out, or you get too tight with his arm to the left side of the frame. So a lot of it, like you say, you're dictated by your surroundings. And overall, like I said, it's a good photo. And
it could have gone now. It could have gone further to the right as well, except for it's just more of the same. And this is 100% why I did it. I cropped it square so it'll pop on Instagram.
There you go.
All right. When wide shots don't fly on Instagram, basically square and portrait 8x10s.
Gotcha.
Are what really stick out. And there you go. So yeah, I'm a slave to the groove, man. I can't help it.
Okay.
But I do love, that's one of the things I love about this camera. It's just like in so many good conditions. Like, this isn't even super late in the day. This is like, I'm going to say 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So, but it still handles the colors very, very well. This is that the Velvia setting, the really kind of slide film look to it. And that's the one that's built in, one of the camera profiles.
Right.
Which I still shot raw, but then add it later. You still add them later, which is what I did. And big fan of that camera once again. So, all right. Topic. I had a topic. You poo-pooed it. So what is the new topic?
Should I, or no, what was it? How do I know I'm ready to shoot a wedding?
Okay, so this isn't how do you know. How does one know
that they're ready to shoot a wedding? How does one know how to shoot a wedding? I'm going to say it all over again. No, I'm not.
Okay. No, just, so how should you, the listener, know if you're an amateur, maybe a slightly working pro, semi-pro maybe, and now you're approached, as you were apparently. But you've shot weddings before.
Yeah, I've shot weddings before, but I got an email today from, you know, sort of loose connections, people I've done other kinds of portrait photography for that recommended me to someone else who was looking for a wedding photographer, and they passed on my email. And then I got an email asking about, you know, could I do their wedding and blah, blah, blah. So it made me think again, because it's been a few years since the last wedding I shot. It made me think again is like, when does one know when they're ready to do this? Like, I know that I can do it. I've done it in the past. I'm very comfortable shooting portrait photography, which is essentially, it's just, for me, it's more, do I want to do it? And what is it worth for me to do it? So those are kind of the questions I'm asking myself. But from the podcast standpoint, I think a lot of people are probably, you know, on the cusp of that, or their skills have progressed to the point where they're probably asking themselves this question about whether or not they're comfortable or feel like they would have the skill set to shoot a wedding, and what might be the requirements. And
well, the fun answer to that is, when will I know that I'm ready to shoot a wedding? The fun answer is after you've blown two of them, which is oftentimes is what happens. Yeah, I can do it. And then meanwhile, you're halfway through the ceremony and you're just sweating like crazy because you're thinking, oh no, I've blown this.
Right.
But I don't want to be that guy. I would like to encourage people to go out and do this. First of all, I would encourage people. Well, we'll answer the how you should know you're ready. There's probably a basic set of principles that you should be comfortable with before you even attempt to do it.
Okay.
But what I would say is attempt to do it. Try have enough self-esteem and enough moxie, to assume that you are capable of doing it. And here's why. Weddings are important, et cetera, et cetera. They're also not that important. Come on, can we get over ourselves a little bit with the weddings?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I mean, you had an idiot shoot your wedding for
us. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And his dad.
That's true. That's who I was talking about, though. And he shot him on film, no less. But again, I mean, you look back, it's like, okay, first of all, I didn't shoot like thousands of photos. So we shot film, but even out of those ones, and we shot, you know, a couple of hundred or whatever it was, and then all the keepers, you know, do you wish you had 600 keepers of your wedding?
No.
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 You don't.
50. That's the number. If someone said, you know, for my wedding, you know, what would my requirements be? I'd say 50 photos, hopefully 10 good ones.
Yeah. How long is your wedding? How long is your wedding? Like start to finish. The time you're starting to get ready with your buddies to you leaving the wedding.
I'm going
to
say 6 hours. I don't know. Something like that.
Probably 12 hours.
I hope not. I hope it wasn't 12 hours, but I'm going to say, okay, 8. I'll settle on 8.
No, you probably started getting ready at around 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
I don't remember.
I don't remember when you got married, but I do remember it. No, it must have been. You got married in the afternoon because it was dark at like 11:30 that day. Yes, I remember got dark really early because you got married in the winter.
Right.
So regardless, so let's say from start to finish, especially for the bride, you're looking at a 12-hour day probably, at least.
Yeah.
Okay? That's four pictures an hour. That's a lot. That's plenty. So you're going to get more than that. Nowadays, you're going to get more. You don't need that much. You're going to get more. So even from a guy who listens to our show, or a girl who listens to our show and is maybe doing their first wedding, they're probably going to deliver at least 100 good photos. Now, that to me would be my minimum. If you're thinking, hey, over a 12-hour wedding period, can I deliver 100 good photos? That would be my sort of baseline of what would say, hey, I'm ready for a wedding. And that's a number I just picked out of my head just now.
And I think, I mean, I have a sort of a number of what Amber said on a podcast, like Amber Hughes, who's a wedding photographer we've had on the podcast for those who've only started listening recently. But we've talked weddings with her before, and she said pretty standard in terms of what should be expected would be delivering, not necessarily these are all the grade A perfect shots, but they're expecting to deliver about 500 photos now for a day's worth of a wedding. So, I think people should have that idea in mind if they're going to do this, that they're probably not going to have to, like you say, 500 perfect photos, but that's what you're going to have to take, or you're going to have to take 650 to deliver 500, right?
Yeah, but also now you're talking about a wedding photographer who gets paid multiple thousands of dollars.
That's true. And that's true too.
Her first wedding either. So, you know, you think about that. And also, let me fill everybody in here. There aren't 500 moments in a wedding day.
No, you've got 16 of the same moment, or spread from 15 seconds of just, you know, hammering the shutter to get all the little in between moments. Yeah.
So if you're thinking about, hey man, like I've been offered this. Can I deliver 100 good photos and some great ones, of course, but 100 solid photos? Can I do that? If the answer is yes, I think you're probably ready. Now, what else should somebody sort of be capable of doing?
Adapting to different environments, different lighting situations. That's probably the biggest thing is, you know, are you comfortable going from a dark church potentially to open shade to full sun to dance photos to getting ready stuff? Like, do you have an idea of all of the different typical shots, and are you comfortable with all those different scenarios, group photos, individual photos? Do you have the right gear to go with that?
So back it up a little bit. To be comfortable with those situations, first, you must be comfortable with your camera.
Right.
So you should be able to, I'm not saying that you need to shoot in manual mode. You should be comfortable in manual mode.
Right.
So when you first get your camera, get it out of the box, you shoot it in that green pumpkin setting, let the camera do all the driving, and then you listen to our show a little bit, of course, and you think, you know what, maybe I can try aperture priority mode, AV mode. I can do that. And you start shooting that, and then you get really good, and you think, you know what, I can do manual, I can do full manual, I can control the horizontal and the vertical, bam, I can do this. That's the point. Once you're that comfortable with that, then I think you're ready. If you're only comfortable doing AV mode, now that means on the day you can go back and shoot AV mode, which means you're probably really good. So I'm not suggesting that you have to shoot the whole day in full manual. That can be a pain in the ass. But if you know how to do manual, you'll get the most out of AV mode as well. Especially when it comes to mixing in flash, which I don't even think you need to be a good flash photographer to do a wedding.
Right.
Be nice. Being able to use fill flash would be a decent prerequisite, but I'm not going to say that that's the end all be all of doing your first wedding.
Okay.
So if you are comfortable with that, now you get thrown into the situations that Adam just outlined. And for you, what was the first time you did a wedding, and the first couple of times, what was the hardest situation you found yourself in? The most stressful?
I'm trying to think.
Here's the kicker. I'll give you a hint. The ceremony, not even close.
No, it's not the ceremony, because everything is kind of, you know, very still. So maybe the dance floor, I'm going to say, maybe.
The ceremony is, not only is it still, is that if you've ever been to a wedding or seen an episode of Friends, you know what happens next at a wedding.
Right.
So you can generally anticipate everything and be ready to go. As long as everybody's somewhat in focus, you're going to be fine. Now, it's the true artists like Amber who take it to the next level and are just amazing. But in terms of what you can deliver, decent photos, you're going to do fine. The dance floor, okay, what's difficult about the dance floor?
It's dark. So getting focus sometimes can be challenging.
Yep. Focus is difficult. Everyone's moving. Everyone's slamming into you. You don't get a good vantage point always, because there's people basically cutting in front of you at all times. Are you talking about the first dance or just the party?
Less the first dance, because the first dance you've got like 2.5 minutes to really get, you know, three or four photos, and everyone's kind of out of your way. So the first dance is probably one of the easier shots of the night. But yeah, the actual dance floor photos, that can be challenging.
And the good news is by then nobody actually cares. Everyone's kind of had a couple drinks and they're all dancing around having fun. you're usually making eyes at one of the bridesmaids by then.
Yeah, yeah.
If
no,
you're me,
wait,
if
wait,
you're me.
Yeah, wait. No, no,
no,
no.
Oh, I always. Hi, how are you? You look nice tonight. A lot of that. I won't say I'm the most appropriate wedding photographer.
Super creepy.
Oh no, no, I'm not creepy. I'm. It's tough to be creepy when you're this handsome, Adam. It, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, no. Brad Pitt knows.
Okay.
Anyways, I've said too much. What with the lawsuit still being still pending. Anyways, so yeah, by then it's a party time. So if you get a couple of cool photos of the, you know, the groom's frat buddies dancing up and having a good time, you're good to go in that situation. So I find for me the stressful part is the all the different shots of, oh, me and my mom, me and the mother-in-law, me and like all the different combos, and you're trying to make in your head, you're trying to make each photo its own piece of art when really it's just conveyor belt photography.
Right.
Like, you're not moving everybody around. Logistically speaking, you're not going to change backgrounds for every single person. You're just going to, all right, at next person, like you're just sort of, this is like a passport photo that looks nice, I hope. You know, and so that gets stressful for me, and then managing the people or doing group shots or, you know, because there's always some people, a lot of people, they're there to have fun. They're not there to do what you say. And so they're kind of wandering off and you know, you're like, hey, or if you can't see the camera can't see you, and they don't care. They're just kind of hiding behind Uncle Ted.
Right.
So to me, that's the most stressful part. But in the end, what you end up finding with those group shots is, are they in focus? Properly exposed? Can you see everybody in the picture? They don't even have to be attractive.
Right.
It just has to be, all right, here's the people who are there.
Right.
Yeah. Horizon is straight. We're moving on.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's anything it. Else? You're ready. What? Everyone's ready now.
Well, no. But the one last thing is you mentioned gear, is the gear.
Yeah, for sure the gear.
What would you recommend the minimum be to go and shoot someone's wedding?
In terms of like lenses?
Gear. Like what would you show up to? Like if you're brand new, if
probably
it's your first wedding.
Yeah, I'd probably think, I mean, what you should have or what you could do, if you're not getting paid very much at all, or potentially just doing this for a friend as a sort of a learning experience for yourself, if you're that person, maybe mm-hmm. you're only going to show up and do the ceremony and some party pictures, minimum gear, I would say, would be, you know, a DSLR with a lens, like a 50 mil at least, because you need to get some group shots. So you're going to have to, with a 50 mil lens, a full frame camera helps. But if your only camera is a crop camera and a 50 mil lens, you're going to be tough. You're going to have to, anything yeah. in a group is going to be, have to be a wide shot. So, I mean, if you even had a used full frame camera, a 50 mil lens is perfect. You can do most of your shooting with that. And then you probably are going to want some kind of zoom lens that can get in closer, because you're trying to stay out of the way as much as you can for the ceremony stuff. So it's nice if you can kind of, you know, be in the back and zoom in and shoot close, or kind of stay out of the way. And again, zoom the camera. And so you're going to need to have some kind, I'm going to say, I love the 70-200, that might be out of people's price range, but maybe a 55-250, some kind of lens like that will get you in tight. You want something that can get you in tight. So that part helps.
What I would suggest is definitely the 50 mil lens. I mean, here's what, if you have a full frame, like even a 5D Classic or something like that, which we've recommended about a million times on this show, that and the 50 mil lens, you're going to shoot an awful lot of photos with that setup.
You can do a lot of it with that. Yeah, I agree.
Almost all of it.
I think you still really need a zoom. If, again, I guess this is where it becomes, again, is it for fun or is it for money? As soon as it's for money, as soon as they're paying you anything, I think you also need to have that second lens. But
what I would do is I would take that money that they give you, rent a 70-200 f/2.8 with the IS in the Canon world.
Okay.
I would rent the Showtimer lens and spend that money on that. And that's the zoom lens, the 50 mil, and you're good to go.
Right.
Now, if you're getting a lot more money, now, of course, you're they're going to expect a lot more glass, et cetera, et cetera. If they're dropping $5,000, yeah, you're going to have to show up with the 50mm F1.2 and all this stuff. But those are very expensive lenses. But you're going to get great results. You have to have a prime. You have to have a prime and be comfortable with it. And you'll find out you'll shoot all the getting ready stuff is going to be with the prime. The ceremony, mostly with the zoom, probably. If you only have one lens, probably then you're gonna, one camera body, I'm sorry, you're probably going to shoot with the zoom and get as much as you can. And then go back for the rest of it. A lot of the group shots are going to be the 50 mil. And even in around the dancing, you're going to be good to go with that. So if you have more, great, do that. But that's the bare minimum, and be really comfortable using that prime. Know what F1.8, know the challenges of what F1.8 or F1.4, hopefully F1.4 is gonna be. Like, you're gonna have a lot of challenges with focus, depth of field, stuff like that. But you're gonna get some great images.
I agree with everything you've said.
Okay, and also have lots of batteries, and make sure you bring your charger with you.
That's a good call, though, the battery thing for sure, because a lot of people might now in their camera bag just have one battery for their camera because they haven't needed to shoot for 12 hours. But yeah, you're definitely going to want to get a couple chargers and some batteries, because that would suck.
Especially if you're shooting with the older cameras, because they go through them pretty quickly. Yeah. The newer cameras, they have a lot better battery life. But here's my, do you have any more tips? Cause I have one tip to go out on.
I have no more tips.
Once you're ready. So first of all, okay.
Oh, flash. You're going to have at least one external flash.
The flash would be nice. I like I said, it would be great if you can have a bounce, being able to bounce flash, but yeah, I would say that would be a bare minimum. If you should be able to bounce a flash.
Yeah.
Now, What I would say is, if you think you're ready, go ahead and find the right opportunity and dive in. You'll probably surprise yourself that you'll be able to handle this. Okay, so definitely do it. One of the things that I really hate about photography in general, but also wedding photography, and is the whole snobbery and the sort of a lot of people try to make it into magic. Like, oh no, it's the barrier to entry is too high. You couldn't possibly do it. It's just, you know, it's such a mystifying thing. Well, let's demystify the whole process. You're probably capable of doing this.
Yeah, I did it way before I probably had the entire skill set to do it, and found that, again, you problem solve. If you're someone who, you know, you feel like when you go out and shoot a portrait, you can think on your feet and adapt, I guarantee you can sort out a wedding.
Yeah. Okay, so my last tip. This is my last tip for the new photographer. You go shooting the whole wedding. You bring your charger. You're charging your batteries. Leave your car keys under your charger at the wedding venue, because what you're going to end up doing is you're going to get in your car at the end of the day and go home and leave your battery charging at the venue, and you're going to lose that.
Okay, good tip.
Always leave the car keys. It's my move. Then someone maybe takes your car too, but whatever. At least you'll have it all together.
Yeah, or they will.
Yeah, they'll have it. Yeah, it'll be one insurance claim is all I'm saying. All right, monthly challenge for June is Black and White Summer. Hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, or hashtag Two Hosers, or Hey Hosers on Instagram. And we will check that out. Challenge for next week, Adam, I've got one, and I don't know if you're going to like it or not.
Okay, probably not, but go ahead anyways.
I'm lobbing myself a muffin.
That sounds about right.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Like, yeah, that sounds like me. Magazine cover. Haven't done magazine cover in like 7 years.
Oh my God.
For the cover. For the challenge, we haven't done it. And full disclosure, I will be shooting a magazine cover for next week's game.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. No, I'm already doing it. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen is whatever our challenge is, I don't care what it is, even if it's not a magazine cover. Even if it's anything but a magazine cover, right. I'm going to use my magazine cover photo in that challenge. Wow. So I'm going to dovetail that in to, and I already know what it's going to be. I'm going to dovetail that in. So I figured, why not just see if Adam can do his own magazine cover? Oh. His son plays baseball. You could do a Sport Illustrated magazine cover. You could do something, or we could just sit and criticize and whine.
Let's do that. The criticize and wine part. Yeah.
Criticize wine. This wine is too acidy. See how I turned it on you? Yeah. Okay. So you have 3 seconds to come up with a better alternative or its magazine cover. Okay. One. Okay, two.
I'm thinking. All right.
Three.
Magazine cover.
Magazine cover it is. Okay. Right. Next week's is magazine cover. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.